Okay, so this week we're going to do a Chovos Halvovos. The Chovos Halvovos tells us in Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh, he lists in Paragimel 30 aspects to do Cheshbon HaNefesh on. In the ninth one, which is the one we'll focus on, he talks about Avodah that will fall into three different categories when we serve Hashem. There's the Avodah that's called, and it's not, I guess, a pun, but the Chovos Halvovos, stuff that's only in our hearts. There's a section of Chovos Hagufos VaHalvovos, stuff that's in the heart and in the Eivarim, which we know is something like Tefillah, Torah, something that has both aspects. And then there's the Chovos Eivarim, mitzvahs that are just in the Eivarim, in the limbs, which is something like Sukkah and Lulav and Tzitzis. So we're going to focus on, obviously, the second one, something that's a mitzvah that requires both the Guf and the Lev, which is going to be Tefillah, or when you give Shevach to Hashem. And the Chovos Halvovos says that, and I'm starting on the part that says Shinayin Tes, right after the small Hebrew letters. It says, Mimisasik b'maisa mechovos halvovos v'varim yachad. If you're doing something that's a maisa, that's from, the chiv that has the heart and the evarim, kitfil like tiluch shevach lo'akim yisparach, yifana gufo mikol maisa olam hazev olam habot. So you have to empty yourself, you have to free yourself from, you know, your body from doing any secular or any mitzvos, meaning that we should not be involved in something, you know, secular at that moment. We shouldn't be, whether it's texting, doing something else, we shouldn't even be involved in other mitzvos at that moment. You know, at that moment we're davening, we should be involved in the tefillah.
You mean like learning davening, or like learning during Kedusha,
so
like that?
It's a little more, I think, the Chosos is a little more focused on Shemona Esrei than the entire tefillah, but it is the same idea throughout tefillah, that if someone... You know, if you're davening and you're quicker than the chazan, so it doesn't hurt if you have something to learn while you're waiting, it's not the end of the world. Obviously, Shemoneh Esrei, not. But if you're so again, it depends if it's taking away from your davening, which is what you're supposed to be doing, or you know, and you're focused on what you're doing, or, you know, as you say, Kodesh Kodesh, you're really in the middle of chazaring, what was today's blot, or what was, you know, the Mishnah that I'm in the middle of trying to get to my Siyam. So if your mind's not there, then really it should not be. But if it's something where, again, you finish Kriya Shema and you're waiting for, you know, the Chazan's waiting for the Rav, so you're sitting there waiting, so, you know, if you pull out a Mishnayis or you pull out a Gemara and you get a couple lines in, so, you know, I don't think that's what the Chovos Halvovos means. I think while you're doing the davening, while you're doing it, if your mind is busy, you know, it's very hard to, you know, to then do the right thing. And he continues, he says, V'yifana libo mikol ha-machshavos ha-matridus oso me-inyin ha-tfilah. He says you should also clear your mind. So not only physically should you not be doing other actions, meaning you shouldn't be giving tzedakah while you're davening. You shouldn't be, you know, checking a text message during davening. But you should also clear your thoughts, things that will distract you, whether it's, you know, what's going, the argument you may have had at home with your wife, or the stress that your boss is causing you at work, something your children did. But you should clear your mind.
We have arguments with our wives. We have discussions.
People have arguments, and that bothers them.
What is the halacha if someone comes during?
I don't know if there's a halacha. There are those shuls that will not allow them to collect. Yes, I don't know. I don't know, because there are those shuls that say that you shouldn't do it because it's being mafsik. There are those shuls who say that Yudavka should do it because tefillah with staka is a whole different level.
So that
comes... So I try personally to try to be right between Prok and, you know, when it happens. You know, sometimes it doesn't work, or sometimes it's not perfect, but to the best I try to do that. And there's the famous story with the Gra that had, he was in Mil Shemoneh Esrei once, and he had a question and learning and something, and the Yetzer Hara decided this was an opportune moment, gave him the Teretz, the Gra blocked it out, and at least the way the story goes, he never remembered that Teretz again. So the Yetzer Hara got him on both ends. One, to tempt him to distract his davening, and B, to say, you see, because you didn't distract your davening, look what happened. So sometimes the Yetzer Hara will get us on both ends. But to realize that, you know, even learning, if I'm a Mil Shemoneh Esrei and, you know, something came from the daf I did that morning, or something came in my mind, that we're not supposed to then drift into that, but to stay focused on what we're doing. Then he continues, says, Achash Yenaka Atzma V'yirchatz, we call it Tinufim V'aluchluchim, V'yirchav and Kol Reach Rav. Adomolzei says, then it comes... to actually, you have to have, you know, your body's physically clean, that, you know, there's no filth or dirt on it. You have to be dressed properly. You have to be distanced from all smells. And obviously, what's the reason for this? It's because it's a covet for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're coming to talk to him. We're coming to tell him things that we need. We're praising him. So if we're doing that, you know, we have to look proper. And I heard from, I think it's Zev Cohn, if I remember correctly, that halachically, he says, a person's supposed to come to davening dressed the way he would to a wedding, to a dinner. He says, today, you know, since there is a derech of respect to go down one level, to go down possibly two steps, but to still come dressed that we're davening. Not as I pointed out to Rabbi Adler, sometimes, you know, we get very caught up here in shul, and I'm going to use the shul, for example, with Mechil of the Rav.
This shul.
We get caught up that Hag B'Galila, they need a talis. Yet, we'll send someone up to daven who has his shirt tucked out, who's, you know, it's just, you know, so sometimes the weight of where, how we're, you know, looking at davening, you know, what's important sometimes gets lost in some of these things. So it's, again, just being dressed properly, coming dressed the way you would, you know, something respectful. And
talking shirt policy.
Gene actually told me, he was not here this week, he said he was in St. Louis, and in St. Louis, he says the shul looks basically the same as here. You know, he doesn't think it's much different than California there. And he said they have a policy, if you daven for the Amid, they have a coat rack. And on the coat rack is different sized sport jackets that the chazan has to put on if he doesn't have his own. And that's something that, you know, he said he was wearing as well. That, you know what, you come in, you might be a chiv. He said he even had his leather jacket. That didn't count. There's a certain covet that the shul keeps. And, you know, he that was what it was. He put it on. And they have, he said, he called it rentals. I don't imagine you paying money for it. But, you know, but he says, you know, that's what it is. There's a coat rack. And someone politely came to him and said, you know, can you please put this on? It's what we do in shul here. So being dressed properly. Now, I used to talk about this a little with my classes. I used to say, like, when you go to meet the president, but today the president himself will meet the media in a sweatshirt and things like that. So they've demeaned that position. So we have to, you know, it's a little harder for us to imagine. But in reality, we have to be, you know, be dressed and be dressed properly. And the truth is, it's not only when we come to shul. There are times, and, you know, I do it myself at times. Sometimes we end up davening at home. And what are we doing davening at home? You just, you know, whether it's shachris, you're not feeling well, you throw any talis and tefillin, mincha maariv, you just quickly grab a sitter. But in reality, we're not getting dressed for the shul. We're getting dressed for davening. So whether you're davening at home or you're davening in shul, you should be dressed in the same way.
Benching,
you know, it's something, but you know, davening, you know, we get dressed in a certain fashion, so we have to be prepared for that. Now, he says, and then he continues, he says, and then after that, you know, yalo libo, you put into your hearts, al mi mechavim betfiloso, to whom are we intending the tefillah, which is obviously to Hashem, uma mevakish bo, what are we seeking from it, what are we asking Hashem, v'mem medabil fnei bar mil satfilah v'inyana, and what speech we're going to use, what are the words and the kavanas that we're going to put into this. He says, Vidan, we should know, ki emilos tiena b'loshon keklipa, he says, the words are like a shell of a fruit. V'ha'in b'milos, the kavana in understanding is kalev, is the fruit itself. Or another example, v'atfilo is keguf, the tfilo is the body. V'ha'in is keruach, again, the kavana is like the neshama of the person. Ukshi isbalal hamisbalal shono, someone who's davening and just saying the words, velibo tared bezulas inyan atfila, and his heart is, you know, really everywhere else. Tia tfiloso kiguf below ruach uklipa below lev, then it's like a body without a soul, and a body without a soul obviously is not alive, or a fruit without, you know, the shell of a fruit without the fruit itself. Vnei shagufo nimtza, because the body is there. Velibo balimo es tfiloso, and the neshama is not there with him. The heart's not with him. Uchamo Omar Kosev, and we brought this pasuk last week from Yeshaya, Yan Kiniga Sha'om Azeb Lefiv, Ubisfas of Kibduni, the people come with, you know, their lips, their voices, and they honor me, Valiba Richak Mimani, but their hearts are still very far away from me. So in order to be a complete being, we need both the words and we need both the kavana behind it. The Chos Oz brings a mashal, Evet Shabbat Donov Lebeso. There's an Evet whose master is coming to his house. Vitziva Ishtob, Nebeso Lechabdo, and he told his wife and kids, when the master comes, now flip the page first. When the master comes, he said, you know, make sure to honor him, take care of him. Velasos, Kol Odosov, and do everything he wants. V'holachu, and where did he go? He went out v'shasik v'simchu v'schok. He went to the golf course. He went to have a good time. V'nimna me'avodoso me'atzmo, and he wasn't there to help serve the master. U'mishtalu b'kvudo, and to give him kavod. V'lasus ma'ashayrolo, and to do what's proper when the master comes. And the master shows up, v'kotzavolo v'adonov, the master gets furious, v'lo kibol kibudo v'avodoso, he doesn't accept the kavod and the avodah that the wife and children are doing for him, v'heishav akol b'fanov, and he throws everything back. So Chosavov says, the mashal is, v'chein ha'mespal, so to the one who davens, k'sheyia libo u'matzpuno reik, me'inyan ha'tfilo, when the heart and the emotions are not involved in the tfilo, and the mind is not there, lo yukabel akel mimenu tefillah sevarav usnos lashono, Hashem will not accept the tefillah of the limbs and what we're saying with our voices. So, you know, obviously, you know, we're on a different level today than the Chos of Ovos, and the Chos of Ovos obviously is talking to his generation. But at the same time, we have to realize that, you know, going through the motions is not necessarily a tefillah. We have to, therefore, you know, put in that effort to try to, you know, work on different aspects, try to pick different spots and say, okay, I'm going to work on this bracha, now I understand a little what I'm saying here, and work on this halukah, now I understand a little there, and go through, and as we said from Shimon Pinkus last week, that setting up, whether it's something like this, setting up something on your own time, outside of the tefillos, is, you know, it gives you a chance to make a difference in that davening, where it becomes the lashon and the lev, putting it all together. And As long as we put ourselves into it, are we trying? Is really the ikra that will come out of this? You know, many times, you know, we come to shul, and by the time we walk through the door, there's no hope that our davening is going to be a davening. But many times we try. We come in, you know. I know for personally myself, I took on this year to try to have kavana when I go into Kriya Shema that I'm doing a mitzvah saseh, which is really what you're supposed to do in order to be yotzei Kriya Shema. And I've noticed that since I've done that, how the Yetzer Hara battles is unbelievable. I could be in the middle of Avar Rabbah and say, I'm going to have Kavana, this is coming, and get it to the Keref Tonu and finishing the Bracha, and the next thing I know, I'm in the middle of Yahavta and go, I blew it. And just at that moment, as I finished, you know, HaBocha Ramayisrael B'Ava, there was a thought about what my kid did or what, you know, what happened at work, and it was just for a 30-second distraction. That's all it took, and I didn't get to do it where I wanted. So the Yetzer Hara is there, but if as long as I at least was trying, I didn't come in with no aspect and no thought of wanting, I tried. So it's a big difference than if we just come in and go through the motions.
Maybe if you do it faster, Yisrael doesn't have a chance to put his two cents in. You ever think of it like that?
It's possible. I can't tell you for sure. It's certainly a possibility. But, you know, everyone has to do what they can themselves.
That's why some people, there are people who ask what I do fast.
There are people.
Could be. V'amru chachamein uzal. Oh, no, I skipped. Hello, Sirim. Ashadu Amosof Tfil Seinu. He says, look what we see at the end of Tila. Yila Ratzon Im Refi Ve'egon Libu Fanecha. So we're asking Hashem that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart should be acceptable to you. Uchshi Adam Choshe B'shum Dava B'divri Olam. When a person's thinking about everything else, B'mutter Ova Aser, whether it's Mutter or Aser. And, you know, Aser can really go into really Surim that, you know, a person's mind can drift to with today's society. Then at the end of Tefillah we say, V'yomeh v'hegyon libi l'fanecha, the thoughts of my heart should go before you. Halo ze genai gadol. It's a great genai, sheyitan, sheyidabim alka, belibo, matzpuno, that we're claiming that, oh, my thoughts were with you. Take that, my heart, my mind, that I was davening, v'libo balimo, and our heart was never there. V'sholmi menu achakach l'kabal oso l'ratzus b'amen, and then we're asking him to accept the Tefillah and to be appeased by it. He says, "V'domuhul mishenembo kigosh etztaka asa." He says, quotes another pasuk from Yeshaya, and basically, what's Hashem going to feel? You know, what do we expect in reality when if we're davening and telling Hashem, you know, take our hearts and our thoughts are everywhere else? And I heard this joke, and it's a sad joke to be honest, but we say every day in davening, "Eilav arechev, eilav asusim, v'anachnu Hashem l'kinu naskir," that they in the world they travel v'arechev v'asusim with cars and planes. But v'anachnu, we travel, but Hashem elokeinu naskir. When we say Hashem's name, that's when we're doing our traveling. So it's a sad joke, but unfortunately there is truth to it, and we have to try to be careful, you know, with that. V'yomu chachamein is zichrono levracha. Yomod adam atzmo, a person should estimate himself. Im yochel chavin eslibo yispalo, v'im laval yispalo. So today we don't do this, because the halacha realizes we're not on that level as in the old days, but in the old days, the halacha was, if you felt you could not concentrate, you didn't daven. And that was it. You didn't say, well, it's my chakras is passing. If you can't have the kavana properly, it wasn't done. Today, because we are not able to be focused, in reality, you know, the way it's supposed to be. So therefore, we still daven, but a person has to take stock. And even if he realizes, and you know, I'm going to go on a limb on this, but if a person realizes that maybe when the minyan's davening, he can't be focused because of something that just took place, you know, you take a Sunday afternoon, it's mincha time, and you know, your child, just got under your skin, and you know you come to shul, there's no way you're going to daven. It could be that the halacha would be that wait at home and better daven b'yechidus, where maybe you'll be able to have a little more kavana, you know, a few minutes later, than to come to shul and not daven properly. I don't know for sure, but
Is it even better not to daven at all if you're not going
to
have...
So the halacha today seems to say that we still do it. Like even the mechaber says if one doesn't have kavana in the first bracha Shemoneh Esrei, he's supposed to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. And the Ramah says, since the odds are we're not going to be able to have the kavana anyway, we don't repeat it. So the halacha is taken into effect that we're different today than they used to be. And therefore, you know, I don't think that if you ask the shaila anyone who's a posek, they would say, you know, don't daven. But I think they would probably say, you know, it's better to wait and better to miss things if you feel that you might be able to do it, you know, better, you know, instead of doing it at that moment and be fully distracted and all over the place. The Amar Rebbe Lazar, and the Gemara in Brachos brings another thing. Rebbe Eliezer said, B'shas Petiroso, he told his Talmidim when he was dying, U'kshat Mespalim, D'u Lifnei Mi Ad Mespalim, realize who you're davening before. And if you realize who you're in front of, that will many times help have more kavana because of who we're talking to. And the truth is, and we'll get to that hopefully at one point, Rav Shimon Pinkus does mention that a person should try to work on himself to make Hashem tangible in front of him. You know, and it's something, again, that takes the work out of tefillah and takes time to try to make something that, yes, it's hard for us to picture and hard for us to see, but to make it a little more tangible and then be able to say, you know what, I'm able, I know who I'm talking to, and have a conversation. V'yomar kasav hikon likras alkech Yisrael, the Pasuk tells us you should prepare yourself to greet Hashem. We also, in Pirkei Avos, it says, al tas tefilas hakeva, don't make your tefillah a burden, meaning just routine. Al rachman v'sachnunov ne'emokom, it should be something that you're asking for mercy, supplications. It shouldn't be, you know, it's something I do. I get up 7:45 of Shachris, whatever time Mincha Maariv come out, or 9:30 Maariv. It's just, you know, it's a routine in my day. But and the same feeling that sometimes we'll all have, including myself at times. It's just like, you know, oh, I just can't wait for this to be done. I need to take care of this. I need to run over here now. I have an errand to run. I have to get to work. You know, whatever it is, we shouldn't have those feelings and try to, you know, make sure that the davening is something proper. And now he continues. He goes into what we'll say is more like the purpose of tefillah. He says, "V'roi l'cha achi shetaydat, my brother, you should know. Ki kavanaseinu b'tefillah eina kiim kilos hanefesh alakim uchnias lofanov. That our intent in davening is because the neshama has a longing to Hashem, and it wants to submit before Him. In Ramusa Labora, he wants to elevate His Creator, v'shivcha v'odas l'shmo, and praise and thank Him." And basically cast all his needs before him. And that's what the neshama wants. So if that's the case, and this was something raised last week a little bit, why then don't we just talk from the neshama? Why do we have this whole sitter and text in front of us? So the Chavos Avavos tells us, "Ufishahaya kaved al hanefesh lisker kol zeb lochiber v'seder." He says it would be very difficult for the mind to remember all this without having it set up in front of him. So therefore, Sidra Abaseinu Zechonim Lavracha Hanyanim Shetzrichim Lahem Rov Kitos Bnei Adam. The Chachamim set up that something that most people need. Yeah, maybe not every detail maybe always applies to us, but most things apply to most people. And Hanira Chesronam Behem Elokim V'Chinyasim Bavuram, where we, you know, tell him, you know, the needs that we have and submit them to him. Behem Inyani Hatfil Al Seder V'Tikun, and that's the Seder then of the Tefillah. Shetakabel b'hanefesh of Nebara, where the nefesh again accepts it for Hashem, v'lo sevesh b'hisnapola, and we don't become embarrassed then trying to organize ourselves, because again it's hard for us to picture. But if we go, I think the closest picture we have is anyone who's ever been sent to the principal's office, and on the way to the office we're all macho and we say, oh, I'm going to tell him this, I'm going to tell him that, I'm going to say this, and then you walk into the office and suddenly, you know, you get that look or that question, and suddenly you start stuttering, you can't get the words out properly. Yeah, so it's the same thing. If we don't have that written in front of us and we're not organized, it, you know, it becomes embarrassing because it's, you know, all of a sudden that who we're talking to can overwhelm us, and it becomes harder to, you know, to get the thoughts out. And in that way, we help to then bring the proper humility and submission before Hashem and with this text that we have. And he says, and because as we know, our hearts, our minds, they're constantly, you know, changing, you know, on the run. You know, everything's always moving. And it's hard to stay focused, you know, have a kiyum of a thought, you know, there. It would be very difficult to basically have tefillah because, you know, one minute I'll be thinking to Hashem, I need this, and then, you know, mind drifts and we're totally somewhere else. But having something to bring us back always, that, oh, I'm saying this now and it brings us back, helps us.
But this seems like, obviously, Shmoneh Esrei is the most important part, but you have the Pesuk
Dezimra. So we will get into what, you know, basically how the rest of davening sort of is the, you want to call it, it's like building a building. And as you go through, you're starting with the foundation and the first floor. And Shmoneh, yes, this does get more to Shmoneh Esrei, but without the proper foundation, right, Shmoneh Esrei is not going to be good, he's not going to go well either.
So I mean, but I'm saying the kavana in Pesuk Dezimra.
Well, there are kavanas there. I mean, and we'll hopefully, you know, again, not be able to do the entire tefillah when we do some bira tefillah, but at least touch on certain aspects to make even, you know, Pesuk Dezimra realize what we're doing. You know, tefillah is not only asking Hashem for things. Part of it is also praising Him, describing things He does. So a lot of Pesuk Dezimra is more the praise aspect. And as we get through the praise, we then get into more the Birchas Kriya Shema, you get into Shemoneh Esrei. So you sort of, again, we're building that building without, you know, and the truth is, and I know, at least for myself, that my best Shemoneh Esrei is Shacharis. Because of the fact that I have that time where it's building up. Mincha is my worst. And Maariv is somewhere in the middle. Because Mincha, you come running in, it's that quick Ashrei, and you're into Shemoneh Esrei. And again, my mind's not always settled. It's much harder sometimes to stay focused. So the Shemoneh Esrei is not the same.
Even but, when you're davening for the Amud?
Yeah, even for the Amud. Because we'll see that, you know, there's a halacha that says a person, when they come in, they're not supposed to say anything for the first, what takes eight amos to come into, dalet amos to come into the shul. Because, again, you're not supposed to just run in and daven. But mincha, many times, just the way it's positioned in the day, you know, it ends up that many times that's what we do. We come running in, you know, ashrei starts. It's a quick ashrei. Sometimes, you know, if we're focused on the ashrei, we're still saying hello to the guy we came running in with. You know, then there's a kaddish we hear, and then you're in Shemoneh Esrei. So even as the chazan, yeah, it's not, Shacharis has that more where you just, you know, it's building. And as you build, it just, you sort of, even if your mind was busier, it does settle down some. It's not clear, unfortunately, we're not made, you know, where we can keep it 100%. You know, as the story goes, and I don't remember who it was, but someone came to a Rebbe and said, the Yetzer Hara puts, you know, improper thoughts of women in my head. And the Rebbe said, travel to this town, go to this and this hut, you know, knock on the door, and they'll have the answer. Okay. He travels, gets there in the middle of the night, it's brutally cold, he knocks on the door, no response. Knocks again, there's no response. So, he's freezing, he knocks, you know, and the guy says, who's there? He says, let's say his name's Yitzchak. You know, the Rebbe sent me. Sorry. And he's freezing. Bundles up, just, you know, falls asleep outside. In the morning, the host opens the door and lets him in. So he says, I don't understand. I was freezing out here last night. He says, I just wanted to show you, I'm the balabas of this house. I decide who comes in and who doesn't. And the message being, we're the balabas of our minds in reality. And we're supposed to decide what comes in and what doesn't. Now, the Yetzer Hara is good. And the Yetzer Hara knows that we're davening, we're, you know, wherever it is. Now's the moment to try to make us, you know, that he's in charge. But we have to remember that we're in charge and try to keep him out. And yes, it should be the same, whether it's a Shacharis, a Mincha, or a Maariv, but sometimes it doesn't happen that way. And we have to, you know, realize, and sometimes you'll have two schools of thought on that. Some will say, therefore, work on the tefillah that's your weakest to make it better. And some will say, you know what, if you already have something building, work on that one, because that will then have a trickle effect on everything else. So that's something. I'm more in the second camp, but, you know, again, everybody has their feelings of what works for them to make it work. And therefore, again, back in here, he says, Tikna osam rabbeinu zechonu levracha b'milos m'sukanos. They set up the words. Yisadrim adam l'shono, that there's an order that he says with his tongue, with his mouth. Because thought many times is drawn after what we say. The tefillah is words and kavana. The words need the kavana because words alone are nothing. The kavana really doesn't need the dibur. If it was possible to just set it up in your heart. Because that's the ikr, the kavana for the tefillah, and that's really what everything's sitting on. And he just goes to prove that it's the thought that's the ikr, because the halacha is that a bal keri is allowed to think in his heart, but he can't make certain brachos, and you're allowed to be makatzer in tefillah, but if the words were the ikr, you shouldn't be able to shorten it, you shouldn't have a bal keri speak. So therefore, the kavan is the ikr, but the words are there to keep us focused and to keep us involved.
Don't know the tefillah by heart now. Look at the words, even though by heart, so the look at the words, it has a helping aspect of not getting off track.
So yes, looking in, and that's something when we get to Eitzes on Kavana, we will touch on, that looking in does certainly help that. He says, Al-Kain Ta-Kain Ochi in Tfiloska Balibcha, he says you should rectify the tefillah in your heart, Vashveyom Diburcha, that it compares together with the speech, Vikavim Bam Kavana Achas Alakim, should be just one kavana, for both of them to be to Hashem. Ufane Gufcha Mikol Tonu Secha, and again, free your body from all movements. And again, different people, there are those that struggle for kavana, there are those that don't. Rav Moshe Zatzal, they bring a story that he did not, move during Shemoneh Esrei, and someone once asked him, and he said because when he was, brought in by the KGB, he was made to stand, with a certain fear in that way. And he says, if that's the way you stand before a person, so he stood that way before Hashem. And there are those that say again that people will based on the pasuk, and again I don't remember from Nishmas, but that we use the body, call it Tamarna, that all the limbs are involved in it. And again, people can look around shul and you'll see some people that are shuckling and some people that the whole world is moving. And by some of them, when they're really moving, you look at some rebbes and they are really moving the world. But we have to realize that we have to know when we're moving, whether we're moving for ourselves or we're moving because we want the guy next to us to think that we're moving things. So again, sometimes what we're doing, we have to take into account also, is it real or not? He says, and again, tie up your senses and thoughts with all the worldly things and put them on the side while you're davening. And he says, obviously, and we'll try to summarize a little outside because it's going to get a little late here. He says, we should just imagine you go before a king. He says, and if you're busy thanking him and you're praising him and you're lauding him for all his great deeds, and your mind is somewhere else entirely, it has no effect. The king won't know what's going on. You might be thinking this king is a moron. I mean, just take the story of Purim, which is coming. Every time Mordechai got before Achashverosh, I'm sure that was the thought Mordechai had. You're an idiot, but you're the king, so I have to tell you, you're really great. But in front of Akash Baruch Hu, who does know what we're thinking, Kal v'chomer, we have to make sure that we're, in place, and he knows what's going on inside us, he knows what we're doing outside, so we have to keep in place, and realize what's going on. And he says that that basically tefillah is a deposit Hashem gave us. And there's no one besides us that knows what's going on. It's not like another mitzvah. I shake Luvin Esrik. Someone knows that I shake it or not. I ate in the sukkah. My neighbor knows or not. Tefillah, no one knows what's going on. When I'm davening, there's nobody in that room that knows whether my mind's with me, whether my mind's not with me. But Hashem trusts us and is saying, it's a deposit I'm giving you and I'm trusting you with it, that you're going to take care of this and do it properly and not have, you want to call it the peer pressure, to do it. And if we daven properly and fulfill it the way we're supposed to with the proper emunah involved, then Hashem will, accepts the tefillah from us. And if obviously if we're not, then we're considered amongst those who betray a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Hashem places them in what's called in the pasuk where he says that we are then a perverse generation. And basically, again, if we are following properly the tefillos, Hashem will put them in the right place. They'll put them in front of him, and if not, you know, tefillah again, you know, is not, you know, will not be accepted in the same fashion. I'm going to just end again with our with a story, and then I will pick up a drop on this next week again. Just as was one more thought, but we're running out of time. So the story was of an 8-year-old boy named Juan Diego who was in a Peruvian village in an orphanage. And he saw this family walking by. There was the mother, the father, a son, and daughter. And it was something he never experienced. He was orphaned as a young, you know, young child. He never really knew his parents, siblings. The only thing he knew was this cold orphanage that he was in. And as he was, you know, staring out, you know, spacing out in a way, you know, that harsh voice of the guardian, you know, to get the chores done, pulled him out of it. And, you know, he had to go wash the floor, and he went and took care of that. When he came back to his room, you know, he thought about, again, what it will be like to be part of a family. So he went ahead and he wrote a letter. And he mailed this letter, and the postal worker found this letter, and the letter was addressed to God. Now, in Peru, no, you're not allowed to open someone else's letter due to superstitions of what can happen to you. So they didn't know what to do with the letter. So he gave it to his supervisors, and this letter kept going up the ladder till it ended up on the prime minister's desk. And the prime minister decided that, I guess he was as close to God as possible there. He opened up this letter, and out came a little piece of paper that said, "Dear God, my name's Juan Diego, but I'm sure you know that because you know everything. I'm 9 years old. I live in an orphanage. I miss my mother and father and really want a family very badly. Please help me. You're the only one who can, your son Juan." And the prime minister was emotionally moved, and he called his advisors. They discussed what to do. He called his wife, and they decided that they're going to adopt this Juan Diego. And the search went on, which orphanage, and eventually a limousine pulled up, brought him to the presidential palace, and he became, you know, adopted by the prime minister. And the story is actually was being told over by Reb Shapsi Yudalevich, and he says, if we just realize what Karov Hashem, you know, Asher Yikru Ve'emes, that what it means to call Hashem Ve'emes, just like this little child, to him, this was he was sincere. He was really reaching out, and he knew that Hashem was going to take care of him in his way. If we do the same, our tefillos will also be mekubal, and we'll be able to, you know, change ourselves and change the world and bring the geula. This week, I'm going to add a second Kaddish to last week's Kaddish, which hopefully most of us were able to do. I know I myself was, you know, more focused not to look around during the Kaddish that we said of Aleinu. This time I'm going to add the Kaddish after Rabbi Shmuel, because that's when many of us are running in and we're sort of sometimes still involved in other things. Again, to being focused there and not talking and just, you know, realizing what that Kaddish is, as this week's, you know, additional, not in place of, I'll say additional little piece that, you know, try to work on.